All right, so last week we we finished Ice Gimel, but I opened up a can of worms last week. So from all the emails that I got between last Sunday and now, evidently I opened up a can of worms. But worms, I guess you could put back in the can. I guess a cat you can't put back in the bag. So it's probably more accurate to say I let the cat out of the bag. So we'll do that. So Rav Nachman was talking about how to turn Torah into a guiding light for a person. That's really within the larger context of the Torah, that's what we're focused on right now. A person has a certain destination. A person has to get to a certain depth within oneself, within Yiddishkeit, which is a certain depth of Torah, but ironically, Torah also has to guide you to itself. So a person has to turn Torah into a guiding light. So Rav Nachman told us that the way the Torah is transformed into a guiding light is when it's spoken out loud. When the words of Torah, Sach Picha, open up your mouth, V'iur Devarach, and the words will illuminate. So that Torah becomes a Torah that illuminates. But Rav Nachman said, there's one ingredient to make sure that mouth that's opened, and the Torah that emerges should be luminescent. It should have a kaich of light. And that is, if that Torah is a Torah of kavod. What does it mean, kavod? So Nachman said, kavod is of two things. Kavod is Hashem's honor and not your own. In other words, humility. And with the additional vav, that it should be kavod mole vav, that means shmir sabris. So if there's two things, and that's what Nachman said, that there are two things to avoid is gaiva, which is the opposite of kavod, and pagama bris, which is the opposite of that vav. Rather, instead, it should be kavod. It should be humility, which is Hashem's honor, not mine. Hashem is the king, and shmir sabris. And Nachman explained that these two inyanim of gaiva and taivas are woven into each other. One, in a negative way, one feeds the other. So what I mentioned last week is that's a chiddush. It's a chiddush because in many sfarim, most sfarim you'll find is that that's really not the nature of tumma. The nature of the other side is pirud, is division, and the inyan of gaiva, which is sort of the psoilus, the tumma that comes from Yitzchak Avinu, that's Esav, and taiva. What did I just say? Gaiva is from Yitzchak and Esav, whereas taiva, on the other hand, is the psoilus, the tumma that comes from Avraham Avinu. They're disconnected from each other. Esav and Yishmael, these are opposites from each other. Throughout the Middle Ages, they hated each other. And they still do. Strangely enough, that's what we started talking about last week. But there seems to be they're different. And I explained for Tzaddik also, even like emotionally, there's a difference. Gaiva is more of like Ani HaGever, I am in charge, you know, and therefore that should be inclined to be less of a baltaiva. Baltaiva means that a person is animalistic and gives in to their tendencies and holds themselves to be low. So a balgaiva should be the opposite of that. And that's in this form, you'll find this, that gaiva, the klipa of gaiva, usually comes with a kriris, with a coldness, not taivas. Whereas on the other hand, the baltaiva, you know, the Chazal say about a balgaiva, right? I hope I'm like articulating well that you can gaiva and taiva. But when it comes to a balgaiva, the Gemara says, Chazal say that Hashem says about such a person, Ein anivu hu yichom lodem rakim echad, I can't be in the same place as that person. In other words, when it comes to taivas and tumas like that, hashoich ni'itam b'toich tumasam. But when it comes to gaiva and conceit, why? Because the Svarim say there's no room. There's pasha no room. Right? The person takes up the whole. So that just like Hashem has that reaction, so we're created with tzelem elokim. Therefore, there's a natural reaction as well. That a bal gaiva is just someone that you don't like hanging out with. This is not a friend. It doesn't feel like. He doesn't throw good parties, the Balgaiva. That's not. Whereas the Baltaiva, it's the opposite. A fakert, because of his nothingness. So there's a lot of room. There's a lot of room by him, but in a negative way. So usually Taivas and Gaivas, and Taiv and Gaiva, Esav and Yishmael, don't go together. So Rav Nachman is talking about that they're one. And again, he proves from Chazal's and Sukkim, but So that's what I began to explain last week, and I don't know how much more explanation I'll give, but it turns out last week that there is a force, there is a tumma that's sort of behind the scenes forcing Esav and Yishmael together, and this tumma is called the tumma of the Erev Rav, the clip of the Erev Rav. And the truth is, the clip of the Erev Rav, not only does it have this mechanism of trying to force, you know, this odd couple of Esav and Yishmael together, but deeper than that, it's really the engine that's behind the scenes of even just Esav and Yishmael independently. It's really behind the scenes of that. So I struggled with the idea. It just came when an idea comes to me during the shiur. So this is the only shiur that I allow myself to say it out loud, you know what I mean, without going through a filter system. But it doesn't always come out so clear. But I'll go upon him. So this koich of the Erev Rav is that, and what we suggested last week is that it's this koich of the Erev Rav that specifically stands in the way, like Rav Nachman was talking about, stands in the way of Torah being illuminating, guiding light, right? Because that's going back to the Ikra Torah, right? Torah to illuminate and to guide a person in that path, which is in of kavod malevav, means to avoid the opposite of kavod malevav, which is taiv and gaiva together, which is Erev Rav. So Erev Rav is opposed to what? The Torah being a guiding light. And the truth is, you find this. What was the tekuf in Jewish history where we were living in that sort of, this avoid of Torah being a guiding light, leading us to our destination? What in Jewish history does that correspond to? It's not so complicated. The Midbar, right? The Jewish people being guided through the Midbar. Leading the Aaron, leading the way, Moshe Rabbeinu leading the way, and who is the opposing force that the entire Midbar, that behind the scenes always carrying a flag? Let's go back to Mitzrayim. It's Erev Rav, right? It's Erev Rav. They're always trying to go back to Mitzrayim. So it's the opposing force. We'll see in Ois Dalet, Rav Nachman also connects this idea of Kavod, of that Torah guiding a person to the Mishkan, which is also the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was the Torah that illuminates, that leads us to that destination. What I began to try to explain last week is that the inner of the Erev Rav, you know, there's a principle from the Maharal. Maybe I didn't say it like this, but maybe this will get a little bit more of an understanding. I mentioned this in a recent shiur, I can't remember which, but there's a concept from the Maharal, or maybe by Aver Lashma. I have a Sunday morning, this is becoming complicated. Sugyas. Okay, but anyway, so the whatever. Almost Hanukkah. So the what was I saying? So the there's a concept of the Maharal. We mentioned this idea many times, that opposites reflect each other, right? Opposites reflect each other. So up, a pair does not give any clarity on up, because a pair and up are not opposites. But down gives clarity on up, and up gives clarity on down, because they're opposites. So opposites are opposites, but they also sort of have this strange connection, this strange bond. So, Teferis is like, yeah. So, the Erev Rav has, what the Erev Rav does, the clip of the Erev Rav, again, what it does is forcing Esav and Yishmael together. Like I mentioned at the end of Parshas Toldos, Esav and Yishmael do get married, right? There's a shidduch made between them. Even though, again, I mentioned from the Vilna Gaon that at that time Yishmael wasn't Yishmael anymore, so there's never really a proper shidduch. But there is this effort. There's this effort on the other on the, on there's this effort on the from the other side at the end of time to unite Esav and Yishmael together, and that sense that inyan of the Erev Rav presenting a front of everythingness, which is what Esav and Yishmael represents, right? I mean, that's everything, right? It's Chesed and Gvura, the two most extremes. It's everything. Esav and Yishmael together is everything. That's a front to what the truth is, which is the opposite of everything, which is nothing. And so this is the strange dynamic of that difficult clip of the Erev Rav, which is the underpinnings of all Ra. What's all Ra? So every Yetzirah that a person has, again, it follows this model, which is the Yetzirah is telling you to say Lashon Hara. That's a front. What does it really want? What it really wants is nothingness. It wants you to become destroyed. It wants you to cease to exist spiritually. It doesn't want reality. It wants everything to be pulled apart. But you can't say that. That's not politically correct. So what you do, what you say is, say Lashon Hara. And you put enough Averis together, self-destruct. Right? But that's what they really wants. It's behind the scenes of all Yetzaras. Finally, at the end, where it's like, you know, then it begins to show, to surface in its true color, which is nothingness, by presenting itself as the opposite, because that's always the way Klipa works, especially. Right? The Kedusha is holy. Holy means truth. Now, Tum is the opposite of that, so it's always the opposite. But you can always tell what it's really trying to say by the opposite, right? So what it's saying is everything. What it's really saying is nothing. Nothing. And that's, you know, I mentioned this mashal, whatever, it's a ma'is shayah, but it's a mashal, because without going into the pratim, the rumble and the jumble in the jungle between the two boxers, yeah? So the one that was doing the rope-a-dope, that was taking all the punches, so he was into the foreman that was hitting, right? So he was interviewed afterwards. He said that the turning point in the match was after one of the bells rang and the round was over. So the other one that was taking it all whispered into his ear and he said, "Is that all you got?" And he was thinking to himself, "Yeah, that's pretty much all I got." And that was it. That was the end. Because like it just, you know. So there is a certain like nechama when the other side begins to show its true colors. In that moment, it was like everything. It was like, okay, you don't have everything. So clearly what you really have is absolutely nothing. So that's usually, you know, when you throw the kitchen sink, it's like there's nothing there. There's nothing there. That's the last little bit. But that's what this clip is. And when there's this presentation of everythingness and this sort of fake trying to convince that we have everything, it's usually an indication of absolutely nothing. The ones that make the most noise are the most empty ones. That's the way it goes. And the truth is, you know, the pasuk says, "Mi oyvai techakmeni," from my enemies, I learn from my enemies. So means Tzaddik uses this principle a lot, that whatever the klipa is, whatever the tumma is that the generation or the person is struggling with, obviously you have to struggle with, you have to figure out eitzes about how to handle it, but you also have to learn from the particular enemy that you're being presented with what kedusha you have potential for and what holiness is supposed to be uncovered in your life. So this idea of all tumma until the very, very end, thinking of the Yetzirah as being, specific things, lashon hara, and tarfis, you know, individual things. So, what do you learn from that? You learn from that what's kedusha? Also, like nice added bonuses, right? There's like existence, and then on top of existence, there's bad things called lashon hara, and then conversely, there's good things that's called mitzvahs. But when you get to the very end, and the Yetzirah is now, and it becomes clear that what the Yetzirah the whole time was really trying to do was to undermine existence itself. So now, what does that tell you about kedusha? That kedusha is no longer just a nice benefit and a nice mile on top of reality. It is reality. It is reality, and now the difference between, between holiness and the other side is not a difference between like, what toppings are we going to put on our ice cream? Like the ice cream is like because we exist. What's the toppings? Is it going to be delicious toppings, which is going to make it an even better experience, or are we going to ruin it by some strange chullant flavor topping, whatever, that's going to ruin the ice cream? Like, which one are we going to do? Okay, so that's the choice that we get to make. But that was until the end of time. At the end of time, you realize, one second, we're not talking about toppings anymore. Because if the other side is really showing its truer colors, which is under the facade of everythingness, which really indicates that it's nothingness, and anyone that peels away the layers a little bit can feel that it's nothing. There's a desire of nothingness behind the scenes of what is being presented, ke'ilu, everything. I'm still speaking Baramis, but from there, Ma'avi Tichakmeni, a person learns that what is Yiddishkeit? Yiddishkeit is not a Tosefus Mila, not toppings on top of what already exists, which is, it's Metzius itself. It's Metzius itself. The choice now is no longer between like, it's whether real or not real. Metzius, existing or not existing. And that's Geula. When the Rambam, that's what I mentioned last week, that when the Rambam describes Mashiach, he describes it as Umol Ha'aretz Deyes Hashem Kemayim Lamechasim, that reality itself is altered. It's not just there's the reality that we know of with the Beis HaMikdash and all good things, like a lot of good toppings. It's not like that. Just the mashal is the ocean's filling the ocean floor. And as I mentioned many times, the ocean floor, what's the ocean floor called? The ocean floor is called a yam, which is also the word for the ocean itself. It's because the floor, when you have a puddle outside in the street, the puddle is still called the street. On the street, there's a little water that's called a puddle. It doesn't change the ground. Because it's just it's toppings. But when it comes to the ocean, the ground of the ocean is converted into something different. It's no longer, it's not called the ground with a big puddle. The ocean is not a big puddle. There's a new metzius. And that's what reality is going to be. It's a new metzius called the place that's a dir b'tachtonim, that's a house for Hashem, which is everything, which is everything. Which is everything, because Hashem is everything, but it's also, and that's a real everything, and that's what the Erev Rav is mimicking. He's like, we'll give you everything, just you have it in your pocket. You have everything, everything. It's nothing, and it takes away a person's mitzias. It takes away a person's mitzias. But me'avir techakmeni, what that indicates is that now what kedusha has to offer is not a nice benefit on top. Kedusha offers reality. And the deepest of realities, which is God Himself, and that's the flip side. I'll show you this just a little bit to concretize it a little bit more in a Rambam. There's a very difficult Rambam at the end of towards the end of Mishneh Torah. We've spoken about this before. I think once in Sefer Yeshua we spoke about it, but it's kedai in this context. Be able to explain a little bit. In the beginning of the ninth parak of Hilchas Malachim, the Rambam is talking about the history of Torah. So it's a very difficult Rambam. Again, it's not like it's not so hard to understand, but it's difficult. The Rambam says, "Al shisha dvarim nitzdava Adam Rishon." The Rambam goes through. There are six things Adam Rishon was commanded: avodah zara, cursing Hashem, shvichas damim, gilui ra'is. He goes through six of the seven mitzvos b'nei Noach. Six were given to Adam. And he says, "Hoysef l'noyach." Again, I'm skipping a little bit. "Hoysef l'noyach." Noyach was given; it was added. Ever menachai. So that's altogether seven mitzvahs. Nimsu sheva mitzvahs. That's sheva mitzvahs. Says the Rambam, "V'chein ha'idaver b'kol ha'olam." This was for all humanity, continuing on ad Avram until Avram. Nitzdavi yeser al elu, and then Avram was commanded more. He was given the mitzvah of milah. V'uspal shachris, and he daven shachris. So now you have an additional two mitzvahs, I guess. Yitzchak hifrish meiser. Yitzchak separated meiser, right? It's like tzedakah. And hoisef tefillah acheres lefnai sayyam. And he added another tefillah of mincha. So you have another two. Where are we up to now? 13, right? No, 11. 11. Yaakov hoisef gid hanosha. Yaakov is given gid hanosha. Vispal arvis, and he davens meiriv. Okay? Ub mitzrayim, and in Mitzrayim, nitzdava amram b'mitzvah yiseris. Amram. Moshe's father was given a lot of mitzvahs. The Rambam doesn't say which ones. The Mefarshim try to figure it out. It's not so clear where the Rambam's source of this is, but okay. Ad shebo Moshe Rabbeinu v'nishl matar al yada. Until Moshe comes and the Torah is completed through him. The Rambam is a pella. First of all, the indication is that the mitzvahs that we have are on top of the Shev mitzvahs b'nei Noach and these additional mitzvahs that got you to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam is openly mefurish not like that. The Rambam writes in Pirshan Mishnah, in Chulin, the Rambam writes in other places that when we keep Bris Mila, it's not because Avram Avinu was given Bris Mila. We're not avoiding Avodah Zarah because Adam Rishon was given that mitzvah. It's a new start. Taras Moshe is a new beginning, self-contained, from the beginning, from Mitzvah Aleph till Mitzvah 613. It has nothing to do, it's not built on anything else. The Rambam writes this openly. So it's a pella. The context of the Rambam is very shver. Also, it's very difficult. I mean, so one second. So in this counting, in this sort of like process the Rambam is describing, Shachar, Smincha, Maariv are counted as three separate things. That's not true in Tariq Mitzvahs. Tariq Mitzvahs is one mitzvah called davening. Midrabanan is three times a day. But for the Rambam to describe Taurus Moshe as following the model that preceded it, and the model that preceded it were Shemitz Bnei Nayach, and then Bris Milah, and Shacharis, and Meiser, and Mincha, and Gidah Nasha, and Ma'ariv. So now in the meaning of Taryag, you should have Shacharis, Mincha, Ma'ariv as separate mitzvahs. But the truth is, it itself is shver, because the Rambam already said that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov weren't commanded to daven Shacharis, Mincha, Ma'ariv. They davened on their own. So what type of mitzvah is that bechalal? You're talking about mitzvahs that Hashem gave. And you're including in that list, like on Hagas Tovis, like good things that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did. Well, so it's a difficult Rambam. Like I said, it's a difficult Rambam. But at least one way to sort of begin to unpackage the Rambam is as follows, is that the concept of Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach is what? What's the concept? The concept is to keep reality whole, that it shouldn't become broken apart. It's anti-Erevah. It's that there should be some sense of cohesiveness to reality. If you break down the Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, Ish Yisrael Chayim B'Loi, that's the end of reality itself. You can't, there's no fun. Any society that breaks down the Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach is done. And there's the underpinnings of the Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach is not toppings on top. There should be Metzias. Now, the standard of what Metzias is, as far as the Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach is concerned, means just like, you know, functional society, that you should stop at a red light and things should just be functional. That's the framework that Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach are going on. Now, there is a principle. The Gemara says this in Adarim Chafei. The Gemara says, based on a pasuk, Ki b'roiv chachma roiv kas, that the more anger there is, the more wisdom that's needed. Ki b'roiv chachma roiv kas. Meaning, as you move further on in history, where there's this maybe more desire of chaos, there's this more desire of things breaking apart, because that's the name. Why would that be? Why would, as time goes on, there be more of a desire on the part of the Erev Rav to break things apart? Well, that's part of the Metzius of being in that empty space of the Tzimtzum, that as you descend further and further into that emptiness, the force of Tzimtzum, which is the force of breaking things apart, becomes intensified. That's all in parentheses. But there is an increased kas as generations go on. So because of that, b'roiv chachma, there has to be an increased amount of Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. And this is what the Rambam is being mechadish over here. It's a chiddush. And I thought this by myself, and then I saw later on that in one of the sikhs from Lubavitch Rebbe, he hints at this idea. He doesn't say a makar, but I think this is the makar that you see from the Rambam chiddush, which is that it's within the ability of the Umas Olam, not just the ability, but it's their responsibility to add to Shev Mitzvahs. To add to Shev Mitzvahs. Because the nature of Shev Mitzvahs is to keep things together. Well, b'roiv chachm, b'roiv kas. As time goes on, there's more force pulling things apart, so you have to increase more. And that's what the Rambam is describing. Why can't the Rambam just say, like, sach hakol, there's a bunch of mitzvahs? You have to. What's the tachlis the Rambam saying this history lesson? The answer is it's a halacha. What the Rambam is telling you through this is that the Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach is not supposed to be a finished job. It's supposed to snowball on itself as generations move on. And Avraham Avinu got Mila, and he was Moisef on his own, Shachris. And so this is you see a chiddush, is that when the Goyim come up with rules and regulations on their own in order to maintain society, that becomes a din in Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. That's a chiddush, which means because if a person violates Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, is Chayiv Misa. So it's a chiddush to say, I don't know, to say to that degree that it's part of Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, but it's part of Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. It's part of Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. It's al pi din, the goyim have to keep their laws, and that's what I saw in a sikh from the Rav Shorba, that he said such a thing, like in passing, that any rules and laws that the goyim add to themselves, they're mechuyev to keep al Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. It's like, where is that coming from? Stam is coming from this Rambam. And that's why it doesn't have to be a tzivui from Hashem. Avram, Davin, Shachris, Yitzchak, Mincha, they saw that was needed to keep things together. You know, that was just a necessary component. On this, the Rambam says Moshe Rabbeinu comes and completes the Torah. Doesn't mean to complete the Torah that numbers wise, like we've had 13, whatever the number is until this point, and now Moshe Rabbeinu is filling in the last hundreds. No, the Rambam is not saying that. The Rambam clearly holds not like that. What the Rambam is saying is that conceptually, the idea of the Shevet Mitzvah Bnei Noach, which is to keep society together, as opposed to allowing everything to just move into nothingness, Torah comes to complete that inyan. Because in the framework of Shevet Mitzvah Bnei Noach, what does it mean together? What does it mean reality? Not running red lights, and everyone understands, and you don't cut each other off, and the functional society. That Torah comes and says, yes, I agree. I also want mitzias, and the goal of Torah is that there should be mitzias. But the mitzias that Torah wants is a mitzias of mal arts deyas Hashem kumam lamachasim. But to this degree, Torah and Shem Zunich share the same goal, which is that there should be mitzias. As opposed to thinking that, okay, Shevet Zvenech is to maintain Mitzias, and Torah is icing on top. No, Torah wants Mitzias too, but we're talking about layers of Mitzias. Shevet Zvenech just wants functional society that we could, that we're used to. Torah says, that's not enough. I also want, because the real Mitzias that we want is Kimal Arts Esen Shankar Mechasim, which is not a mile on top. It's Mitzias itself. That's reality itself. And again, all of this is allowing the Torah this is the cleep of the Erev Rav, which is again that force of nothingness. Again, that we find this very often with Rav Nachman, that even at the time, like he was talking to he wasn't necessarily talking to the generation that he was in. He's talking further on. So in earlier generations, Esav and Yishmael were separate. But at this point, it's a strange, strange hanhagas happening where these two things. But it's again, it means that now the choice of kedusha versus tumah is not a choice of what toppings. It's a choice of whether I want to exist or not, whether I want to truly embrace reality itself or not. Those are the two choices. And again, that's the. It's a shleimus to Shevet Mitzvah Bnei Noach conceptually. Doesn't mean shleimus in terms of again completing a numbers game, but it's a shleimus to the concept of Shevet Mitzvah Bnei Noach. And it's not so crazy though. Again, the Rambam says that Shevet Mitzvah Bnei Noach began, there was given the six out of them, right? The first six were given to Adam before the Chait. The Rambam, the Gemara in Sanhedrin learns from Sukkim what the six were that were given to Adam. The psukim that the Gemara uses are pre-chait, so they can't just be pashut azachin, right? So it's like it's ironic and it's interesting that those mitzvahs are universal; they're all humanity. But it Torah comes and sort of brings out the depth of what that mission statement of even the Shevet Mitzvah Bnei Noach were about. And again, this is why with the Dor HaMabul and Dor HaFloga befrat. You find this in the Kisvei Ari, you've mentioned this other times, is that the generation of the Mabul became Nizgalgal, reincarnated in the Dor HaFloga, and then reincarnated again in Stoim, and then reincarnated again in the generation of Mitzrayim, in Golas Mitzrayim, and then became worked out as the Dor HaMidbar, traveling through the Midbar. But you see this inyan, Dor HaMabul is Taiva, Dor HaFloga is Gaiva, but it's the same Neshamas. And you see, and then they come together in this sort of strange anti-society in Sinai, which is we have everything and we don't need anything else, right? That's what Sinai was. The Klipa Sinai was everythingness, right? Because if as a society I need imports from some other place, it means I'm chassid. Sinai doesn't want to recognize that. Sinaim says, no, we have everything. We don't even want a guest. We don't want either. We're complete shleimus within ourselves. That is quintessential gaiva and taiva together. That's Erev Rav. I have everything, which in truth means nothing at all. And therefore, you see this, that Sinaim, Mabul, Hafloga, they're all destroyed. Because again, it's anti-Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach. But the full shleimus of absolute destruction to the point of where there's nothing, mamish, not even rebuilding, nothing. It's the night, because that's the you know, and again, Dafka from there emerges David HaMelech, right? Say David Malka is Sadaim. David HaMelech comes from light, right? From that place of Sadaim, because that's, again, the Mashiach is not the biggest cherry on top. Gula, again, what becomes clear as you get closer to Mashiach is that Gula is not the greatest cherry on top. Gula is just to exist, Pasha to exist. And I don't mean not survival, Chas V'Shalom, but in terms of really existing, really Metzias. Real Metzias, that's what Gula is, and that's what David HaMelech brings. David HaMelech is also this inyan of everything and nothing, right? But in Kedusha, David HaMelech is nothing. David HaMelech is nothing. David HaMelech holds of himself as nothing, mamish nothing. But because of that, and as a reflection of that, he's everything. He's the Melech. Melech Paritz Gedevein Meich HaBiyad. So there's a certain, again, the same strange oppositeness. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu also had this quality. Moshe Rabbeinu was also nothing and everything, right? There's nothing that's not hinted to in Taurus Moshe. To a certain degree, Taurus Moshe is like Sadaim. But in Kedusha, no imports. It doesn't need anything. It's completely shlameless. But it's not Chas V'Shalom coming from a Tumah. Fakert, it's coming from everythingness. Eretz Yisrael has that quality. I mentioned this before when in Parshas Masai, where it's talking about the Matas, I think, where it talks about the borders of Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem has to pick a point, Kiviyachol. He has to pick a point on the borders to begin as a reference from there and to work your way around, right? So what border city or border spot does Hashem choose to go around from? The answer is the Yam HaMelech, which is by Sadaim. Of all places, it's the place of nothingness, it's the place of destruction of Sadaim. The answer is that in when it's converted, that's Kagan Hashem. It's Gan Eden. It's existence. It's shlameless. It's just right now it's covered in layers of gullus. But that's what Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be. Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be loisech sar kolba, right? It's a place, kiloy b'miskenes techa b'lechem. It has, you know, on the one hand, it has nothing. It depends on rain. It's not like Mitzrayim. It doesn't have its own rivers and things like that. Loisech sar kolba. But because of its nothingness, it has everything. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to get to Eretz Yisrael. David HaMelech is the king of Eretz Yisrael. It's there, Rav is stopping us from getting to Eretz Yisrael. It's this inyan that's very much connected to this inyan. Whenever there is the potential of truly everything, which comes from truly, in a holy and good way, nothing, because that's what Gula is. Kemayim HaMechasim, the ocean floor of the ocean is nothing. Its whole Metzius is just a place in which the ocean can be the ocean. So when you look at the ocean floor, on the one hand, in itself is nothing. But its nothingness allows it to be a vessel for everything. Everything. Kol ma sheyesh b'yabosha yesh b'yam. The ocean has everything. And the ocean floor, because of its holy nothingness, allows itself to be a vessel for that which is everything. So that's anti this klipa. It's anti this inyan. So that's what Eretz Yisrael is like. That David HaMelech, Moshe Rabbeinu, Taurus Moshe. It's all this inyan. And again, that's the in order for Torah. That's what Rav Nachman is saying. In order for Torah to illuminate one's life and to guide a person to that ultimate destination of Leisech Sar Kolba, of one's Eretz Yisrael. So you have to allow the Torah to illuminate with a sense of Kavod. Which means an avodas Hashem, again, practically anti, you know, to be humble and not to fall into taivus. But it means to see Torah it's a cliche already, but kehem chayenu v'rechemenu, that Torah is life, it is metzias. It's not just like how to get milus. It's a choice of just existing versus not existing. That's what Torah. And then Torah can be a beacon, and Torah can take a person to where they need to go. Yeah.
But it's an energy source for the Erev Rav as well.
Okay.
What time is it? Sorry.
No. The energy source, you can say, that gives Well, again, there's a number of things. First of all, Hashem made already in the Metzias that everything is Zelu Mazeh, everything is opposing forces. So Geula itself, the opposing force to that is the Erev. That's the opposing force. A little bit deeper than that, and I'll share 2 minutes, and then maybe next week we'll try to go more, but it's the empty space itself. Because what's the model of history, right? So you have, in the beginning, all there was the infinite light of Hashem. And that's the ultimate goal. We want to get back to that. Not through self-destruction, chas v'shalom, but to get back to that place where we realize, and that's the Torah, the oimik of Torah, is to be in that space where we realize that when it's just Hashem by himself, he's thinking about us. And it's that sugya of Nishmas Yisrael. But then Hashem made an empty space. And in that empty space, is experienced as anti-reality. And then Hashem sends a light into that empty space and builds universes. So we have universes, and it's good things, and there's Yichud Ilah and Yichud Tata, all within the universe is built in that empty space. But in order to get to what was before the empty space, you got to travel through the empty space. So that's the Midbar. That's the Midbar that we're going to. It's like, again, that's like the model of Torah, like the Rambam said in Hilchas Malachim, like Hashem gives us Shevet Mitzvah Bnei Noach, and Shevet Mitzvah Bnei Noach continue until Amram in Mitzrayim gets it. That's like all the universes built in the empty space. But that's not really the Tachlis. The Tachlis is Eretz Yisrael, which is the light of infinity that precedes the empty space. But in order to get there, you got to travel through the empty space. That's the Midbar. And it's Dafke in that empty space that you're confronted with the Erev Rav that is fueled by that emptiness. So we have to. So as you travel through that Midbar, you got to hold on tight to the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu, and believe with absolute certainty that there's no such thing as an empty space. Rabbeinu Shem is with me, and I'm not going to allow myself to buy into that emptiness that presents itself as everythingness.
Even before the emptiness, it's the suffix of it.
The concept. That's what allows it. So that's the model of Rav Nachman's talking about over here. We're traveling from the light of the singular, the specific ray of light that Hashem sends into the empty space, which is Yichud Ilah and Yichud Tata, up and down. The concept, the Arizal writes that even the concept of up and down is only because of that ray of light. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? The Arizal before, okay, I'm sorry. It's your fault. Yochanan knows. Again, I mentioned this many times. Before all there was is an infinite light of Hashem. That's the destination. That's the beginning, and that's the destination too. Then Hashem removed his infinite light, making an empty space. And then in that empty space, Hashem sent a singular ray of light. Didn't get all the way to the bottom, because now you have a reference point of up and down. And Yichud Ilah and Yichud Tata. And in that ray of light, we build yeshivas and maestas and all good things. Right? But the tachlis is to somehow find our way to the other side and get back into the infinite light of Hashem, which is to understand Torah to its depth. But they have to travel through that abyss. And that abyss is the Erev Rav. That's the abyss of nothingness that doesn't want to show its cards as nothing, so it shows its cards as everything. But it's not. It's really nothing. And so that's the Mishkan that you travel with in the Midbar, going from Mitzrayim, where there was, that's what they're saying, the model of Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach, with all of whatever mitzvahs were added in Mitzrayim, that's like the Moisdis built from that ray of light. But you want to get to Eretz Yisrael, which is infinity, which is everything, true everything. But in order to get to true everything, you have to pass through the Erev Rav, which presents, ke'ilu it has everything, when in truth, it's in truth just an expression of the empty space between the ray of light and the infinite light itself, which is in truth nothing. The Indian is hold on to Torah and mitzvahs because gehem chayenu v'erech amenu. That's really the truth. Okay, that's the truth. Stop and Shabbos.